Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, I had mentioned earlier in the show that I would love to see the return of Stars in Their Eyes, which was one of those great shows from the past. And it seems like those kinds of shows may be coming back. In January, Netflix are reviving a long-lost format, Star Search. It was an iconic talent competition that discovered some of the world's biggest names, Beyoncé, Britney Spears, Adam Sandler, to name but a few. The show will return, but this time with live viewer voting and online reaction. Couple that with a docuseries coming from Simon Cowell that will centre on his search for the next boy band sensation. The move back to the reality talent TV format seems to be coming back into vogue. As a viewer, Vicky Nataro has a life bookmarked by these shows and joins us now to relive some of the most memorable moments and stories. Hello, Vicky.
That sounds a bit sad when you put it like that. But it's true.
Look, it's good to be an expert in these things. Popular culture is something you know a lot about. Certainly these popular TV shows. I know the last time we spoke, we were talking to you with your novelist hat on.
Yes.
But if you can, take that off and just put on your
pop culture hat
and that hat that has just sat in front of these kinds of shows, because they were a huge part of our lives growing up, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, like marquee television on a Saturday night. I mean, when I was very little, it was Stars in Their Eyes and Gladiators, and then it kind of moved into the era of the talent show, and I just remember my whole family being absolutely feral for it, and then it just growing. Like, I was working in entertainment journalism at a teenage girls magazine when Pop Idol and X Factor were huge. And yeah, it was event television. Like, I'd get together with the girls from the magazine on a Saturday night and we'd have a few drinks before we went out watching these talent shows. And we were just obsessed with them. They were huge.
Well, you touch on an important point there. It was appointment viewing. The way we watched TV was different. That's why you had these huge numbers. Remind us of how big X Factor was back then in these kinds of shows.
Yeah, it was huge for years, but 2010 was the kind of peak. It was averaging 14 million viewers a week, which was bigger than EastEnders, bigger than Coronation Street. And then the final in 2010 attracted nearly 18 million people, 17.7 million people tuning in on a Saturday night, which you just don't get anymore. You don't even get half that anymore. I mean, Strictly is probably the biggest show on a Saturday night these days, and it's not getting those figures.
No, Pop Idol was one that I guess was one of the first ones people got. Tell us about your experiences with that show.
Yeah, that was the first time that I think Simon Cowell became very prominent. And I was 15 years old, and I remember throwing an absolute strop when Will Young beat Gareth Gates, because I was in love with Gareth Gates. Do you remember he had the stammer?
Oh, that was the biggest rivalry since Blur and Oasis.
There was
two very definite camps there.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that was a huge part of my life. But even then, I remember thinking that Simon Cowell was playing this character of Mr. Nasty. You know, I was only 15 and I could see that he was purposely rolling his eyes. And, you know, he had the uniform. He always wore this T-shirt or jumper and the high-waisted jeans. He was very much a caricature, I think.
Yeah. Was Pop Idol the famous Nadine Coyle moment?
No, that was Irish Pop Stars.
Oh, that was Irish Pop Stars.
A one-and-done series that was absolutely amazing. Nadine had kind of bent the truth about her birth date and got caught out with her passport.
We have a listen to that moment.
Please.
Dean Coyle, I'm from Lorcal and Derry. Did a birth 15th of the 6th, 85. Making me a Gemini. And what's it, a birth did I say now? 15th of the 6th.
Yeah, that was a famous moment that I think ever since then, she's still wishing people would forget. But people like me keep replaying it so everybody remembers.
Well, she got brought back then onto Pop Stars The Rivals. Louis Walsh encouraged her to audition for that and then famously got put into Girls Aloud, and the rest was history. So she didn't make it into 6, but she did make it into Girls Aloud. So I think she's grand.
Good Irish representation over the years. Of course, Jedward. They appeared in, and that was X Factor.
That was X Factor, yeah. I have a Jedward story. I was working for Kiss magazine at the time, and we met these two twins. They came up to us and sang for us, and we were like, God, they're hilarious and gorgeous. I remember my editor at the time saying, oh, we should put them in a photo shoot for the magazine.
Yeah.
And then that August or September, they popped up on X Factor and were instant stars because they're Jedward. And we were all like Team Jedward. Ireland couldn't vote, so we were trying to get all our friends in the UK to vote for them, and they ended up coming 6th, which was pretty respectable considering they were seen initially as the joke act.
Yeah, and of course they had some Eurovision success as well. Here's a clip of Jedward in action.
Who have we got here?
We're twins. I'm Edward.
I'm John, and we're 17 and we're from Dublin.
All the way.
Hello, Dublin.
See for you guys.
It's a yes from Louis.
We're coming here today to sing for everyone.
Guys, why are you talking in American accents?
It's the way it sounds over a microphone.
No, no.
I can't talk like this. I go.
No, no. Guys, you're from Ireland. Be Irish. You don't need to be American.
That's how we talk.
Where do you see yourselves in 15 years from now?
Well, I see myself being older.
Angels, the pair of them.
They were great. They were like excited puppies.
Yeah, they still are in their 30s. Yeah. They're still very much like that.
There was an innocence to them, I think.
Absolutely. You know, yeah.
And they got put into this machine. Mm-hmm. Now, it is a machine, and some people have done well out of it, other people not so well.
Yes.
And it begs the question, you know, if we were to bring back these types of shows, would we do them differently, do you think?
I think so. I think nobody was talking about like the duty of care of reality stars in, you know, the noughties, whereas now it's at the forefront of anyone's mind that's watching reality TV. Like, are these people being manipulated or exploited? Are they being minded? And I think that's changed reality television. You know, you still have people going into it with their eyes wide open and going on to shows to become, if not a pop star, or if not to find true love, then to become an influencer or to become kind of famous in that way. But I think we're a lot more cynical these days than we were in 2008. So I think it's a tricky one. I'm not sure if it'll take off in the same way, because you got very involved with these shows. They all had the tropes of, like, you know, the sob stories. They'd small town girls that you could kind of see as pop stars and you'd kind of identify with. And there was a lot of hope involved. And I think hope is thin on the ground these days, Dermot. I don't know how you feel about that, but yeah, in pop culture terms anyway.
But I think as well, they became so heavily formatted. You could predict the camera shots.
Absolutely.
You know, it would be the person walks out silent, cut to people in the crowd with quizzical faces. Who is this? What's happening? Then they'd start to sing. There's looks of shock.
Yeah.
Incredible overdubbed applause. You know, and the moments where Coldplay would suddenly come in, you know. And we could all edit those shows ourselves at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, I was in the audience for the Dublin auditions the year that Niall Horan and Mary Byrne both auditioned. Mm. And it was in the convention centre. We were there for hours. Simon Cowell used to famously make everyone work American time, because he was on the dual schedule, so he'd be working on, you know, West Coast America time, so it was late at night. And it's almost like a gladiator's arena. Like, the crowd are the baying mob with the thumbs up or down. Like, it very much hinges on the reaction of the crowd. And I mean, like, the producers, I remember reading something years ago that they had the three categories. There was yes, no, or good storyline, or, you know, good, bad, or good storyline. And the crowd's reaction definitely played into that. I mean, if the crowd hadn't reacted to Jedward so positively, I don't know if they'd been kept on, you know.
Yeah, well, season 7 introduced a new name to us. It was an Irish name, one Mary Byrne.
Yeah, a legend.
Yeah.
She came across so down to earth, and, you know, she was working in Tesco's. She was, you know, like, had a very normal life, but she had this talent. And again, the audience responded to that big voice, like the second coming of Shirley Bassey almost. And she was on the most popular year of all. So, you know, the year was One Direction. So.
Yeah. Well, Mary's on the line. Hello, yay. Mary Byrne.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well. How much of season 7 of that do you remember? Is it still as clear in your head these days?
It's even more clear now, because when you have time to sit back and think about it, you see things I forgot that happened and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's always in my head and I'll always be grateful for it.
What was the audition process like for you? Because we were talking about, you know, how these shows would translate in a 2025 or 2026 world. What was the audition process for you in terms of what you had to emotionally navigate?
Well, it was a long, long time. We started off in Croke Park. That was 2 full days in Croke Park. And then we went in front of the judges, thank God. But that was we were there from 9 o'clock in the morning, and that was 1 o'clock when I did my audition. So
in the morning,
wasn't it?
Long
process.
Yeah. So you've been there all day, and by the time you got to stand up in front of the judges, it was 1 a.m.
1 a.m. in the morning, I got sat and I was exhausted. And at that stage, if they'd said to me, you're a good singer, but you can go home, I would have ran, because I was that tired, that exhausted.
Wow. But you still managed to pull it out of the bag, obviously.
Well, I think, you know, once I got out on the stage, the adrenaline had dropped until I walked out on the stage, and then it built up again, and I just gave it all I had and got the reaction I got. I couldn't see the crowd. I could only see the 4 judges. So when he said something about 4,000 votes, yeses, I couldn't see who he was talking about until I looked back on it.
Yeah.
On Lion, you know, I just couldn't believe it.
I was there, Mary. I was shouting for you.
Good girl yourself.
Well, I'd be very interested to get your perspective as well, Vicky. Yeah. You know, because we see the edited versions of these things on TV. Are the audience, you know, by the time Mary walked on at 1 a.m, were the audience exhausted as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they used to kind of, I was there for quite a while, but they used to ship different audiences in for different times of the day. So there were different slots so that we were fresh and baying, you know, for blood almost.
Okay.
But what surprised me was, I think I was very naive, but like obviously they re-record their reactions as well. So like they'd say, oh, that wasn't clear, the audience were too loud, can you say your yes again there, Cheryl? You know, so like it was fascinating for me to see the production element of it all behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I ended up on the Extra Factor as well for a split second in the crowd dancing. So that was my claim to fame that year.
And when Mary opened her mouth to sing, what was the reaction in the room?
Chills, goosebumps, and then roars, because she was so lovely. And, you know, it really came across. And Niall Horan was lovely as well. You know, it was just, you really understood that these were just people with a dream. And everybody can relate to that, I think.
Do you remember hanging out with Niall Horan on the show, Mary?
I was very close to Niall. I mean, I was in the house with them as well. Mm. I was, the five guys. And I mean, they were just the best kids ever. And I will never, ever take that away from them. They had such respect for everyone in the house, and in particular myself. So I loved them all very much.
Yeah. I know you've enjoyed your time on the show and after it. I guess it wasn't the same story for other people. It depends. How do you think you navigated it so well during the show and in the years after?
I think because of my age as well. And I didn't go in there to be a pop star. I was 50 years of age. Mm. I went specifically just to find out, to have them say I was a good singer, you know, just to find out about myself. So once I got into it then, I seen the ins and outs of everything. And I have to say, it was bloody hard, and even harder on the younger kids. I mean, I was exhausted. I felt like crying sometimes. I wanted to go home. They were the same. They didn't want to go home, but they just wanted it so badly. They went in with a completely different dream to me. And there's where I think you need to have counsellors, and you need to have a lot of care being given to these young kids, because they're going in there with a dream that they're going to be an overnight success, and it doesn't work like that. And it's not an easy business to get into.
Yeah. So if they did bring shows like this back, as they're planning to, you'd like to see more of that, you know, contestants' welfare looked after for a start.
Definitely, because we did have one lady who lived in the house with us. She was a counsellor as well. And some of the kids would go to her, but they all thought they knew what they were doing. They were young. We were all there once, thinking we knew it all. So yes, to have other people there, to have a couple of people that the kids can relate to and that the adults can relate to, and to have them watched and talked to whenever they're feeling down, not to have them thinking that they have to be strong all the time. You're allowed to be tired. You're allowed to do this. But I do think talent competitions are great. And I think, as you were saying earlier on, the family thing, the world is so upside down at the moment that something like this is nice. And it gives somebody else the chance to show their talent off, and maybe the next big star. You don't know.
Mm. Standout moments, obviously, aside from yours, Mary. Vicky, do you have anything that stays with you over the years in terms of your favourite moments?
Yeah, I mean, well, on Britain's Got Talent, Susan Boyle's audition will never leave me. Yeah. I still get goosebumps every time I watch it. You know, she was very much presented as this joke act. Everyone was taking the mickey out of her, and then she just opened her mouth and started to sing. And I remember Piers Morgan saying to her, you know, nobody's laughing now. And it was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there's been loads over the years. Like,
well, let's have a listen to Susan Boyle in action.
Please.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
I think that's one of the moments, as impressive as her singing was, it's one of those sort of cringy moments. And I guess it shows where hopefully we have changed, because the reaction around her, yes, people were like, oh my God, you have an incredible voice. But it was, oh my God, we just thought you were really ugly. So now you can sing. So aren't you great?
I mean, they were even playing like the Benny Hill music over her intro. Like, you know, they really, the producers were, you know, they wanted us to see her as a joke until that very last second where she opened her mouth.
Yeah, you wouldn't get away with that way she was presented now, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there's so many things in pop culture. I have a rom-coms podcast and every single episode we end up saying, you wouldn't get away with that now, you know, about loads of things. There's, you know, fat shaming, misogyny, like just the language that they use even. And I think we are a more cynical society in a lot of ways, and in some ways for the best.
Your own adventure aside, Mary, do you have a moment that stands out to you from that time in television and maybe any of the other auditions of people you worked with?
Well, it has to be Susan Boyle for starters. She gave me the inspiration to get up and do it myself. The other one, and a lot of people laugh at me when I say this because she was in the house with me, was Cheryl Hyatt. Her audition was stunning. It was brilliant.
It was amazing.
It was the start of a little pop star.
Yeah, and Ollie Murs was another name that came out of that time.
Ollie was
as well.
My favourite. Out of all of them, even out of Susan, the whole lot,
the
Ollie was my
chappy.
Favourite. He literally sent shivers down my spine and made me smile. I love him.
Yeah, I think we have his audition here, actually, Ollie Murs. I think just everybody loved Ali because he just was kind of like the guy you'd love to hang out with and go for a pint with and have a laugh with, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was the... Do you remember Stacey Solomon was an X Factor contestant? I think people often forget that. She was like the female version of Ali, this Essex girl with a heart, you know? And she started off as a singer on X Factor, which I don't think anybody really remembers anymore now that she's... What's she famous for now? Organising and... crafting and television.
Mary, you, I was reminiscing earlier on the show about Stars in Their Eyes. Do you remember with Matthew Kelly?
Yeah.
If there was, I'm putting you on the spot here now, but if you were taking part in, say, a celebrity Stars in Their Eyes, who would be the star that you would emerge through the mist as, do you think?
Well, first of all, I'd love to do Tom Jones, but I can't because I'm a male.
Yes, you can. You can do whatever you want, Mary Byrne.
Yeah, I think you could.
But obviously I'd love to do something like Shirley Bassey, Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yes.
Big, big singers, you know.
Yeah. I guess you must be performing around this time of the year because I think mere mortals forget that in entertainment, this is a really, really busy time of the year. What are you up to over Christmas?
It is. It's busy, busy, busy. Back-to-back gigs, thank God. And I did the Marie Foundation launching yesterday, which was brilliant. And I've been with Red Hurley down in Mayo, doing gigs with him. And so, yeah, I'm very busy right up to Christmas Eve. And then after Christmas, the 27th, I have one more gig and then I have a bit of a rest until January.
Will you be watching the toy show tonight?
I definitely will. I never miss it.
Good woman. We'll be all there with you. At Mary Byrne Official is the place you can follow all what Mary's up to and, of course, all her gigs and go and see her live. And Mary Byrne, thank you very much. And Vicky Nataro, thank you very much
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you.
Because we were talking about Stars in Their Eyes, why don't we play Just Jack, Stars in Their Eyes?